You know, there's something disingenuous to suggest that you oppose the Coastal GasLink pipeline because of issues that are specific to the Wet'suwet'en, like internal governance or Aboriginal title claims over unceded lands, when in fact, you oppose every pipeline. And you're just simply using the 8 hereditary chiefs who oppose the pipeline to advance that agenda. I've been impressed with how fast the discussion over Coastal GasLink and the opposition of the reported 8 hereditary chiefs, although some say it's only 5, I don't know, versus the support of 20 elected band councils and an estimated 80% plus of Wet'suwet'en living along the pipeline route, I've been impressed how fast it's become irrational. Although people spitting, pushing, shouting insults at the various entrances to the BC legislature was a pretty good indication that rationality's taken a backseat to emotion. And I find it amazing how many Canadians think that approach is legitimate. 39% according to this week's Ipsos poll. Boy, that's a case of you're going to get the country you deserve. I have trouble believing that those tactics are condoned by the hereditary chiefs who oppose the pipeline, let alone the chiefs who support it. Members of the Wet'suwet'en who oppose the pipeline are not behind the protesters of the radical left whose goal is to, in quotes, shut down Canada. And when the public turns against the hereditary chiefs in opposition because of tactics used, groups like Red Braid Alliance and Extinction Rebellion won't suffer a bit. There's so many aspects to this dispute to discuss, and there's certainly no shortage of opinions. It's not an easy situation for both politicians and members of the media, but although both have played a role in bringing us to this point, and in some cases, both have failed. Case in point, incredibly, Vancouver Mayor Kennedy Stewart has nothing to say about the disruptions in his city, horrendous traffic tie-ups due to protesters, cancellation of the West Coast Express commuter train, major bridges closed down, literally tens of thousands of people impacted, their rights as citizens curtailed, and the mayor has nothing to say. But then, in case you've forgotten, Kennedy Stewart was arrested for ignoring a court injunction in protesting the Trans Mountain Pipeline, and he's proud of it. So, not a surprise when he has nothing to say in defense of the rights of the people he's supposed to represent. By the way, if you and your a few friends are considering blocking a bridge or a rail line or threatening anyone who tries to get through a blockade that you've set up, don't do it. In your case, the police won't wait for a court injunction. Politicians won't wax eloquently about your right to a peaceful protest. You'll be arrested. Individual citizens don't get to play by the same rules as a mob. And what do we expect from the protesters who've noticed that we live in a society with so few consequences? I mean, no consequences for blocking the BC legislature. Intimidating staff. Why would anyone be surprised that's taken as a green light for more? Despite what some of the media report and politicians push, this is not about the right to protest. My gosh, that's nonsense. No one is saying people shouldn't have the right to protest peacefully. But bullying, intimidation while blocking a road or a bridge or a public building is not peaceful protest. Despite the protesters claiming it's their right. No, actually it's against the law. It's called common nuisance and it's under the criminal code. My question is, why hasn't it been treated that way? No consequences whatsoever. As I say, the political leadership has been pathetic. And I repeat, we do get the government we deserve. Lots of talk about democracy by those supporting the protesters. But they don't mention the fact that, as the National Association of Chiefs state, 80% plus of the Wet'suwet'en support the project. And they went on to say, in quotes, First Nations affected by the Coastal GasLink are overwhelmingly in favor of the project because it brings jobs, revenues, and a future. You don't have to agree with them, but we need to respect their opinions. They should not be dismissed. End of quote. But they are dismissed regularly. The record is clear that whether we're talking about the Coastal GasLink or the 50-plus First Nations and Métis signed agreements with Kinder Morgan Canada and support the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion, they're consistently dismissed by both the Canadian and American anti-pipeline opponents, and they were by the media, especially with the coverage of the Trans Mountain Pipeline dispute. Not so much this time with Coastal GasLink. But it's incredible. The Court of Appeal found that of the 129 groups impacted by the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion, only 9 opposed it. That is a far cry from the impression the media painted. When it comes to the Coastal GasLink, the protesters have outdone themselves in totally ignoring the overwhelming number of Wet'suwet'en in support. I was stunned by the ignorance so proudly on display by protesters who held signs and declared people over profit. Really? Where do you start with that depth of ignorance? Well, I guess you start by ignoring the statement of the band leaders and councillors the 20 Wet'suwet'en communities that support the pipeline made it clear that they see the Coastal GasLink as a generational opportunity to alleviate poverty. As recently retired councillor of the Hesla Nation and now Liberal MLA, Ross Ellis put it, if you show that 14-year-old kid that there's a better future out there, a job, a house, a future, then you've done your job. Those activists that are going to stop development in your territory, they do not care about that 14-year-old kid. They could care less. Wet'suwet'en member Vernon Matswell states, the protesters don't realize who they're hurting. They're hurting my people and my kids. Now, do these protesters and 39% of the public who Ipsos found support them have any clue about the suicide rate on rural First Nations reserves? Do they know the high school completion rate or the health outcomes? I doubt it. The people living on First Nations are not important enough for them to do a little research before opening their mouths. Either they've lost any semblance of humanity or they have no clue as to the living conditions on many rural reserves. Now, it's their right to oppose the project. But let's also be clear that these people don't even consider the 80% plus Wet'suwet'en who support the Coastal GasLink pipeline in order to give hope to their young people, to offer them a chance at a life that urban protesters take for granted. As Ernie Cray, advisor to the Stolo Tribal Council, bluntly stated in addressing the pipeline opponents who refuse to even acknowledge the First Nations who support the projects. They don't acknowledge they exist. Well, Mr. Cray states, racism has many faces, including yours.